This is Alicia Baker. Welcome to Crushing It in Chaos, the podcast where we dish all things mundane, magic, and woo. Here, you can learn to live in alignment, embrace your human design, and take control of your life. I'm an entrepreneur, human potential catalyst, and business process expert, supporting women in all stages and areas of their lives. My mission in life is defined by my conscious sun in gate 26, commitment. Steadfast commitment that welcomes new cycles of experiences. And my purpose shines through my unconscious sun in gate 34, strength. Great strength and power that serves the common good. I know that people are dealing with issues beyond strategy, company politics, or managing parenthood that are preventing them from making things happen the way they desire in their lives. And I'm on a mission to make sure that everyone has the tools to align their goals and achieve all that they desire. This is the Teal Table Talk series, which is focused on sharing what women today are doing to crush the chaos in their lives and impact the world. Welcome to the Teal Table Talk series, which is focused on sharing what women today are doing to crush the chaos in their lives and impact the world. On this episode, I'm interviewing Shelby Melissa, whose pronouns are she, her. So grab your favorite bevy and have a listen to one of the meaningful conversations I get to have with women from all walks of life who are impacting the world. Welcome, Shelby. It is great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. It's great to be here.
I am certainly enjoying having this opportunity. So let me share a bit about you with our listeners, and then we will dive right in. Shelby Melissa is a human design projector and energy and mindset business coach. She merges her understanding of energy with her social work background to support impact-driven entrepreneurs as they create and grow their businesses. Shelby received her Reiki Master Certification on January 1st of 2015, and graduated with her master's in social work in 2016. She began bringing the two of those things together in Biz Magic Reiki in 2018, which began with experimental trials in 2017. Now that our listeners have a glimpse of who you are, I have a few questions just to get us started. Yeah. What is your human design type and profile?
Okay, so I am an emotional projector, so I have that emotional authority, and then I'm a 2-5, so I'm the hermit heretic in traditional human design language.
Perfect. So you learned about your human design, you started playing around with it, trying to figure out what it meant for you. What was the aha moment for you?
So I think the biggest one early on was that I wasn't made to go all the time, and like I was supposed to be resting and whatnot, which was huge because after grad school, so just to give everybody a framework, you're going to grad school, so you're taking a full course load, mm-hmm. right? And that second year of the program that I was in, we were also doing internships. So it was summer, fall, winter semesters that we did our internship on top of classes full time. So I was already in class like 3 hours per class, probably 4 times a week. And then on top of that, I was doing about like 22 to 25 hours in my internship each week. It was a lot. And I got burnt out. And so to hear that, like, I'm supposed to rest was amazing. Like, I was like, how am I supposed to do this? Like, how am I supposed to find a job and do this? Like, how am I supposed to do these things? And it was like, no, you're supposed to chill out. You're supposed to be able to rest and all those things. And so it made a lot more sense looking back. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm allowed to rest. I don't have to like push myself all the time and do all these things, right? So that was the first one. And then actually last night I had another one. So these keep rolling. Like human design is a gift that just keeps on giving. So it's great. So last night I'm an emotional authority, so we have our emotional waves, and I'm in the middle of one, and I'm like, people are like, you're supposed to know like your purpose because it lights you up, and like you're like, bam, I want to do this, and you're like, right? And I'm like, but hold on, I'm an emotional authority. I'm not supposed to act from those places. I'm supposed to act from more of a peace, more of like a centered space. So it's like, maybe it's supposed to be different. And I actually, this is the funny part, I actually looked up the chart of one of the people who says this. They're not emotionally defined. They're definitely not a projector. But I took a look at it and I was like, okay, so maybe there's something different there. And Alicia, if you have thoughts on that, like, I'm open to hearing them, but I was like, huh, that's interesting.
So the mantra for life for someone who is emotional, and I am emotional as well. My authority mm-hmm. is also emotional. The truth of the matter for us is there is no truth in the now. And I want that to land for people. Half of the population is emotionally defined and the other half of the population isn't. And when I talk to people about that wave and making their decisions, what I really try to make sure people understand is just as much as you shouldn't make decisions when you're in a low, you shouldn't make them when you're in a high. Anytime you're on either side of that wave, you are not serving your highest good in the decision-making process. And what your emotions really are is information to help you know that you're in the right place when you do move forward. So yeah, one of the clients that I have worked with that I work with now and worked with in the past, you know, likes to, as an entrepreneur, put things on sale. And one of the strategies for that, you know, is to create a sense of urgency around, you know, get it while it's get supplies while they last, or, you know, but wait, there's more. If you order now, then you get this, this, and this. And that's, it's a very common sales strategy. And a couple of years ago, around, you know, the holidays, and of course everybody's doing, you know, the Black Friday thing and the whatever, a lot of the sharing was, you know, get it now, 24 hours. And I gently suggested that perhaps they needed to come up with a method that would allow for people who have an emotional response, which is half of the people. And so I look now at this person, where they are in their business, the money they're making, how well their sales go. And they really did take that to heart and change their strategy to be more aware that everyone really can't, from an energetic place, make a correct decision that damn fast. I mean, that's just, it's just the fact of the matter. And people who aren't emotional don't necessarily understand it from the perspective that we understand it from feeling it, but they can learn to understand it. And I think that's part of, you know, how the world is changing and shifting, right? And so, yeah, get it while it's hot, buy it while they last. Those kind of things are not as successful as they have been, as we as individuals become more aware of our process and our energy and respect our flow. So I think that's huge, yes. And you were probably pretty smart to check the design, because now you know they were in integrity for themselves. And that's a great place to be. It just wasn't working for you.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
The next question, how have you integrated your design into your life?
Okay. It's a lot. I mean, it's a process, right? So I think definitely the first thing I started was doing resting more, because that was my first aha. So I started, okay, resting more. And you know, make sure I'm taking those naps or that like alone time or whatever it needs to be, right? And then as an emotional being too, it also comes back to like, do I need to eat? I'm in a wave. What do I need to do right now to like nourish myself and sort of come back to one, feel that wave and then come back to center. So I'm not somebody who can just like snap back. Like we would get into arguments as a kid, my brother and I, we'd fight, we'd like go at it like cats and dogs. And then he'd like come back and be like, okay, you want to go play now? And I'd be like, no, like we just fought. Like, I don't want to play with you anymore. And so I still had that wave that I was riding. Mm-hmm. And now my husband, who's not emotionally defined, he and I, he's like, all right, you need some time, take your time. You know, and I'm like, perfect. I'm gonna go sit over here by myself. Personal Shelby time out. And then it's like, do you need to eat? Do you need to nap? Because being hangry is definitely a thing I experience. Like they're like no other. So we like tune into that. And then I can sit there and like maybe angrily eat my snack or whatever. And then I feel better. So it's making sure I have that time once I'm in a wave and once I realize I'm in a wave or somebody else realizes I'm in a wave. And they're like, hey, you need to take a seat.
I will interject quickly. I have people who can tell, they're like, girl, you may not quite realize it yet, but the wave is there. And I'm like, what? So yeah, I have had it pointed out to me. I have found, and if this helps you, take it with you. Yeah. Sometimes in that alone time, I have adult coloring books. I like to be what I feel is as creative as I can be, right? So I will color or I will put on music and I will be in my room and I will just kind of be journaling and dancing and do like what I find for me when I move my body some or when I have sort of a creative outlet, it helps me center during that wave. Mm-hmm. So that's my little tip that I try to do. I had not tried feeding the wave, but that is not a bad idea. Not at all.
I'm a Taurus, so I will fully admit that. So anytime I can eat or like do something like that, I'm on it. So
I got it. I understand. There is no judgment. because each of us individually has to figure out what helps us anchor in during that wave. And anchoring in just means you're holding steady. You're still riding the wave, but you're riding it and it's much less tumultuous. So yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. So now, thank you for answering those questions. We start with human design. That's, you know, my lens for everything. Let's talk about what you do. I love what you do. Thank you. So let's go.
Right. So we kind of went over it a little bit in the introduction, but to put it in also another frame, I'm a really good energetic mirror. Like, I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm really good energetic mirror. And then I have a master's in social work, as we talked about. So I bring these two together in my Biz Magic Reiki session. So that's like one-on-one, we're together on Zoom or wherever. And while in session, my body acts as a mirror. So I can feel pains or other various things in locations in my body. So it can be an old injury. It can be anxiety. That's one that I pick up on really well. So anxiety tends to be in the chest or in the gut. And I can be like, all right, that's what's going on there. But I can also feel where the energy is getting stuck. And then I can use my Reiki training, my energy work training, to clear out that stickiness, to help ground out that anxiety, to help soothe that injury, whatever it needs to be. Because the individual is not separate from the business. So we always address the individual as well. And then we get into the business and it's kind of the same. I found being a mirror works same with animals and like constructs. So like businesses, things like that. So we get into the business and I can again feel where things are sticky, where they want to flow, etc. And I can shift the things, aid in the flow, whatever it needs to be. And then I report my findings back to my clients. And because of my background in social work and therapy, if a client's like feeling any sort of way about the things, we can work through it together and I can empower them to make a decision that they can feel good about. So regardless of my opinions or whatever, because I'm an outside perspective, they can make a decision where they feel empowered, and whether it's continuing forward or not, sometimes the best decision is sometimes to step back a little. They can feel good about it. And that's what's important to me, is that they feel empowered in their own authority and able to make those decisions themselves. So that's one-on-one. It works a little bit different in group sessions because I'm more holding the space. So I act a little bit less as a mirror, or at least I'm less consciously aware of being a mirror, because you can get like 10 people and that's going to get like a lot of weird signals and like confusion. So I tend to take a step back there, but I hold the space and I guide them through meditations where I'm not just sending energy, but they're guided to do the energy work themselves. And we sort of have this amplification effect. And then they come back and report what they found to me. And then we can process through it at that point and do the same sort of social worky therapy sorts of things so that they can feel that empowerment themselves. That's what we do.
So first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna circle back to your human design. And we're gonna talk a little bit about your mirroring. You are a 2-5 profile in human design. Mm-hmm. Those are both projection fields. So everything about the energy profile that you carry, every single piece of it, both in your conscious and unconscious being, is about mirroring in some way. So the 2 projection field is more of an internal mirror, and the 5 is the external mirror, but everything about how your energy operates is about you taking projections, whether they're internal, external, from yourself or from others, and being able to work in that space of that energy. So there's nothing about you feeling that for your business that kind of surprised me. It is like the most natural thing for your energy to do, because that's what it does.
So much. See, another aha moment. There we go. It makes so much more sense.
And so what I'd share about the 2 line really is, the 2 is an interesting energy. And so since it's more of an internal projection, and I have an unconscious 2 line, what you gain, what happens with that particular line of energy is when you go, you're in your emotional wave or whatever, or you just feel like you want to be alone. When you kind of withdraw and take that little bit of time to be alone, what it is allowing is, from an energetic space, you are taking the experiences that you've had and you're literally transmuting them and integrating them into knowledge for yourself to draw on later. It's not just, oh, I need to go and be by myself for a while. It's, when I go away and spend this time by myself, it is allowing my being, my energetic being, the time to process my experiences, integrate them, and have them available to use at a later time. I mean, I think I love that part about the 2, really falling into the understanding that I'm not just withdrawing and going away because I don't want to be around people. I literally need that time to work through all of the experiences that I've had, to integrate that, to transmute it, to make it available for me to use later. And I think I found that a really empowering perspective. Right?
No, that makes a lot of sense. That's how I see the hermit in tarot a lot of times. Yes. Is that they remove themselves from society, they gain the knowledge, the wisdom, and on their own, kind of like in their, not on their own, but alone, right? And then they come back and they bring that knowledge and wisdom back to society or the community, and they disseminate it.
Yep, that's how that works. Also, looking at your 2 lines as places where you're gifted that you may not even know. Those are gifts that people will see in you and call out of you that you may not have known were even there. That's really another one of the ways that that 2 energy works. And it's fun when you discover you had gifts you didn't know you had. You're like, oh no, I was just doing this over there. And they're like, no, what you were doing was creating a masterpiece. What you were doing was revolutionizing business. Like, mm-hmm. I was just doing the thing. No, you've changed the whole world. And you're like, oh, I didn't realize it was that big. It was just me doing the thing. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the ways that that two energy works. So I'm excited about sharing that piece of it for you and giving you something to kind of lean into, right? You'll probably continue all of your life to have people point out things and you'd be like, oh, I just thought that was regular. And it really isn't. So here's my next question. You talk about using Reiki in your work. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know what Reiki is, could you give a really quick explanation of what Reiki really is and how it works? I am a believer that energy is everything. We are all energetic beings. We carry an individual frequency. And my perspective is stepping into our human design, authority, and strategy and honoring that gives us a lot more command of our personal frequency. Reiki is energy work. So let's talk about what that means.
Yeah. So Reiki is a specific modality, if we want to call it that, a technique, a system. Mm-hmm. And it comes out of Japan. So the founder is Mikao Usui. And the story goes that he was meditating in Mount Karama for, I think it was like 21 days. And a great Reiki was bestowed upon him or came upon him. And Reiki is just like life force energy.
Okay.
That's kind of what it translates to. So the way I understand it is that we're connecting into a certain frequency with this modality and with these attunements that you receive through the training. Just like there's many other, there's like Lahokchi, there's the expansion result, there's like a ton of them, right? And mm-hmm. for Reiki, we're tapping into a very specific frequency. And this is a life force energy. And it feels very familiar, like all of these things, like it's not too foreign feeling. It's like, oh, this has been here all along kind of feeling what I feel like when I get into it, right? And so you're tapping into this frequency, this type of energy when you do energy work. So through the attunements, you are attuned, quote unquote, to the energy. You're able to turn your little radio dial to that space, you know, metaphorically. Although some people probably do like
get into a visualization of it. Yeah.
Yep. I'm sure people do that. And they're like, okay, this is where I'm pulling that from, or this is what I'm matching to, right? Because energies, frequencies like to resonate. Mm-hmm. And we'll find like a homeostasis, right? And so we resonate with or tap into and act as a conduit or then channel for it. And then once we get into another sort of energy, like if we're typically Reiki's like you put your hands on a person. Mm-hmm. So like you put your hands on their shoulder, and thus because I'm holding that frequency, now as I touch them, they're starting to receive that frequency and that resonance that sort of happens.
So they adjust to match the frequency that you're vibrating at, I guess is the best way to translate that. Okay.
Yep. I think that's the best way to translate that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, when you say that for me, I have, well, not since the beginning of this year, unfortunately, but I have mm-hmm. a massage therapist that I enjoy going to at least on a sort of kind of, you know, every few months basis. And she's also a Reiki practitioner. And so that energy is part of what she does when she services with massage. So that's kind of how I see when you said hands-on, that made perfectly good sense to me. Cause I'm like, yeah. And when she's massaging me and then I get the Reiki and it feels really good. So
Yeah. It's not uncommon. I think it's very common for massage therapists to also be trained in energy work.
Yeah,
it's becoming more common. And then they're looking at palliative care and like care after surgeries and before surgery. Yeah. So nurses are being trained in sort of hands-on energy work or all sort of things. So it's really interesting to see the ways it's sort of getting around.
So I see that, and I can see there being sort of a natural affinity or attraction to you doing Reiki and being in social work. So tell me how that kind of comes together for you, right? I know you're doing it differently at this point, like in the way mm-hmm. that you do business, but I'm sure you went to school to do social work because you want to help people and you do. So how did that mashup happen for you?
Yeah. So originally I wanted to do therapy. So I ended up going to social work because it didn't require the GRE, the graduate requisite yes. exam. Ugh. After like the ACT and like everything, I was like, I'm not going to take another one of these. It's ridiculous. Also, we know that standardized tests are not great. Like they really always measure yeah. what they want and, you know, all the things, right? So, I always wanted to help people, and like the mind has always been fascinating to me and how we process things. And I went through a period of acute depression as a teenager. So it wasn't something that was very long lasting, but I went through a period. It was like heavy onset depression. And I saw a therapist and everything. So this was like, oh, this is like a thing. And it kind of opened up like I can help people. And the joke was, I want to make people smile, but I'm not very funny. So this was a great way to like help people smile without having to be a comedian or something like that. So I always had this like kind of in there, like I've always been like, as a kid, I was always wanting to like be around people, also in my alone time, but like be around people, listen to people. I was a very quiet young child because I was always listening to the adults talk. And so people were like, oh, she's so well behaved. No, I'm just really, I'm getting inside your mind and I'm figuring out what's going on here. So I've always had that like interest. And Reiki, I've always also been interested in things like tarot and these sort of non-mainstream sort of things. So like intuition, Wicca, paganism, all of this. And huge mythology like interest as a kid, but so it kind of like came together in that there were people in the meetup community that I was in who were getting their Reiki training, and so they were starting to practice, and so who else practice on but the people that you're already in community with. And so I was starting to like receive and like sort of like get an understanding of it. And as a kid, I was super into anime, as a teenager, like all these things. So it kind of like lined up really intersectionally with my interests. And so I started, it was just like two different paths to help people, but really it was like the same path in a way. And so I got out of grad school. I actually did Reiki training for some of my fellow grad students. Okay. So I trained them in Reiki while I was there. It was super fun, but it's not a evidence-based practice that is approved for social work, and it's not something that insurance tends to cover. So even if I wanted to do it inside of sessions, it would have been very difficult to do. So the path kind of led me out from being a therapist and being in social work and doing that sort of thing.
I think we're seeing, and this is just Alicia's perspective, but always we're welcome. Seeing... an expansion of what people know is effective and helpful that isn't necessarily in the box of you know, government approved or whatever you want to call it, right? People are finding that there are a lot of things outside of those lines that are highly effective, really helpful, and so, yeah, I get that. I get where you're coming from. Like you couldn't use it inside of that container, mm-hmm. but that's a loss in my opinion for that container.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
More than anything. So you said a couple of things that kind of excited me a little bit. Let's jump into those. So you talked about like alternative and tarot cards and all of that kind of thing, which is really interesting. So my very first memory of tarot cards, and let's talk about how young I had to be. So this is really strange. I was probably 4, maybe 5, but more likely 4. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to do some research because I can probably do some research and figure out exactly how old I was. But I was a little girl and I was with my parents and we were in Europe. Mm-hmm. We were visiting family there. And my great aunt at the time had a building and a business in Brussels. And in a very European tradition, you know, the business was downstairs and she lived upstairs or mm-hmm. however, I don't remember all of those details. Like, was it upstairs or was it behind or was it whatever? But what I remember from that is being at her place. There are two things I remember from being there. Number one, my introduction to sugar cubes. And I thought they were just amazing and awesome. Little squares of sugar. Just, I was a little kid. I loved it. She read tarot cards. Now, she also didn't speak English. So but that was like my first introduction. And I think about my life and the things I saw. I had an aunt when I was a young girl who had a baby and then she breastfed the baby. Like there are things that when they're in your awareness, you think of them as perfectly normal, right? Mm-hmm. So when I started having children, breastfeed kids, because that's what you do, because that's what the other people did, right? Tarot cards, nothing wrong with them. My great aunt, she was a lovely woman, right? So those are those things that you just become part of who you are in those interesting ways. Mm-hmm. So do you read tarot cards or is it just something you dabble in for fun?
So I do read. I don't read, I used to sell, so in grad school, I also sold tarot readings. So you got to make that little money on the side because grad school is expensive. You got to feed yourself.
Multiple streams of income has always been the path. Okay.
Yep. So I did tarot readings and I don't sell them anymore. They take more energy for me to do than what I currently do. And it's a little bit more exciting to do what I currently do for me, but I still use it. Like last night I had tarot cards out because I had 3 options, 3 different things that I was looking at. So I drew some cards on it and was like, all right, tell me, like, what am I getting from this? So I still use them and I still use them a lot in like business decisions and behind the scenes.
Perfect. The only thing that.
The only thing I don't read for is like my own relationship with my husband.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's only thing I resonate highly with that. I will pull out my cards and I will card everything but a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. There's just something about that I just, it's not for me.
Yeah. I think partially my training in social work because of the standards of practice around privacy. I think that really influenced that. Because as a teenager, I would do it. I'd be like, what's going on over there? What's going on over there? But I think the standards around privacy, I was like, oh, this really makes sense. Like, there are things that maybe people don't want to tell me, and that is okay. It is up to them to make the decision.
And for me, I think it was kind of there were things I just don't want to know. I want to live it and experience it and let it play out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the other thing you talked about, like all of your eclectic things, and mm-hmm. let me be fair and say, you have given me a tremendous resource on my current kind of dive into all things SecMet. So I sincerely appreciate that, but I'm going to share this with you. I am wondering if you've ever heard of this book. If you haven't, it is available as a Kindle download. My Kindle download of this book is the third time I've gotten this book. The first time I received it as a gift, mm-hmm. read the book. It was a book I read in my 20s. It changed how I saw a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I loaned it to somebody, it disappeared, whatever. I bought it again, it disappeared again. Now I have it digitally. The name of this book is The Great Cosmic Mother, Rediscovering the Religion of the Earth.
I've not read that one.
Yes. Okay, so I'm sharing it with you. And it's by Monica Joe, S-J-O-O, and Brenda Moore, M-O-R. And it really was, for me, kind of that watershed moment of questioning from a societal perspective, why do I believe what I believe now if people used to believe something really differently? And what makes this more correct than that? And it, yeah, so it was like a book I received, like I said, as a gift. I think I was 22. And it began to really have me questioning what I believed about the world around me and why, because it does a deep dive into religion as an institution versus being connected to spiritual oneness and all of the other things, right? Just really an interesting book. So I shared that with you. I'm excited.
Yeah, to put it on my list.
Yes. So is there anything that I have not asked you about that you would like to share with listeners? I mean, we can get into if you would like. So that everyone's clear, I love Shelby Melissa. She is my business Reiki master. I love the work that she does, the gentle guidance, the awareness, and I am here for it all. And even in the way it has increased my awareness of how I am in my business, my presence, my space, paying attention to the energy around me. So, you know, I'm coming from a very, you know, selfish place of, I know what I love. So what else do you think you'd like to share? Or would you like to talk about, I know you just started, or at least I just joined the group that you have with, let's talk about what you're giving people in that arena that is really, really amazing.
Yeah, so that's the SM membership. So like any other membership, you can kind of come and go. It's a monthly basis sort of thing. So in this container, we're doing the group sessions. So kind of like we talked about earlier, where I'm going through a guided meditation and you are receiving energy work, but also doing your own energy work. I'm a big believer in that anybody can do energy work. You don't need to be trained in any sort of modality in order to do it.
What I'll add though, is I feel much more, after working with you one-on-one, right? I feel much more confident being now in the group and being able to do some level of energy. Like, I don't know that had I not worked so closely with you, I would have felt like I was able to do that. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying for my own personal comfort, knowledge, information, I'd be like, she wants me to do what? But now I feel like, oh, okay, girl, I've got it.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that we don't realize are already energy work. So that's why we do like a guided meditation. So I'm not just guiding you through a visualization process. I'm guiding you through communing with the energy. And totally understand that that might be on the edge for some people. I might be like, what? So we do that, it'll be twice a month, but really our framework is working on nourishing and reprogramming. So filling ourselves up, taking care of ourselves, doing, maybe you need that alone time, but knowing what you need yourself, and then reprogramming, because society gives us a lot of pressure on how we're supposed to be and perform and do things. And so reprogramming and deprogramming some of that. So one, that we can nourish ourselves, but two, that we can create and grow these businesses that are impact driven. Because for me, it's never just been like, I want to have a business and a business is a fun thing to do. It's like we talked about, the stuff I wanted to do and create impact didn't fit into the box that I already was given and the container that I was already given. So I had to leave that space in order to do what I wanted to do. And I think a lot of people, like you said, are in that space of like, and coming to that thing of like, what I want to do doesn't totally fit. And like how I want to create change in the world doesn't totally fit. So we need to make this space for it to fit, or step outside the box completely, like whatever it is. So that's kind of what the membership is a little bit. There's like weekly tips and tricks. So there's going to be little energy things. We'll probably get into the structures of energy too. So I like to use the house example. I am my own energy, right? And then I am inside the structure of a house. So there are the other people in the house, and together we make the collective energy of the house, including the things that make up the house. So like all the things that are in the house, all the like plants that we have in the house, the animals, the like physical pieces of the house itself. So like the wood, the cement, all of that like creates an energy. And then we have our neighborhood, right? And so all the houses and all the people together and the other things that might be in the neighborhood, like a playground or a community pool or whatever, all of those create the energy of the neighborhood, and then the neighborhoods in a city, and you know, like all of these things, right? So it blows up. And so energy is moving. This is my like big brain like explosion moment, is that like energy is moving through all of these things. So the energy in another house and the neighborhood and what's going on there can have an effect on your house. Conversely, the energy that you're creating in your house can have effect on the neighborhood and the other houses within the neighborhood, which is really the exciting thing for me. Because that means like, as I'm grounded in my house, the other people feel it. As our house together is grounded, the other houses in the neighborhood feel it. And they start, and everybody kind of shifts, and that resonance starts to happen, and it shifts collectively. And so some people might move out of the neighborhood, some people might move into the neighborhood. But so it's not just this though, it's with like structures like business. So what we are doing in our own businesses affects the overall structure of business and how business operates and how it feels. And it's like,
so I feel like a couple of things. Number one, I feel like you're probably tapping into some of what I want to share with you outside of here. Because I know what my next pivot is, and it really is some of that. But the thing that made me giggle in the very beginning is you talking about this house analogy. So in human design, the profiles, the house, and the lines 1 through 6 are different parts of the house, and it's the same way. So I see our human design is us having a way to master our own individual frequency, right? Because we're energy, and this is how we master our energy. But the other part is it's described in a house structure. So line 1 is the foundation of the house. Line 2, which is your conscious, is the first floor of the house, the windows looking out on the neighborhood. Line 3 is the stairway that takes you from the first floor to the second floor. Line 4 is the foundation of the second floor. Line 5, your body line, is the windows and looking out the rooms of the second floor. So you're the windows in the house. You're those floors. You're that, not the foundation, but those rooms. Mm-hmm. And then the 6th line is actually not in the house. The 6th line is the roof of the house. Mm-hmm. So that's, I love your analogy of describing it in the neighborhood and the houses, because when you start to look at the house and look at where your lines in the house feel, house fall, that gives you kind of a perspective of your role in that you are the first floor and the windows, you are the second floor and the windows. You're, so when you talk about that looking out and mirroring, right, that's exactly what you are. That's what those windows do. Think about what happens with windows when it's late at night and it's dark outside, but your lights are on.
No, thank you. I don't want you looking
at the house. but that's your 2 line. That's really a part of how that, remember when I said people will see gifts in you that you don't see? That's a way that I talk about how that 2 line energy kind of works. You're in the house, you're minding your business, you're cooking dinner, it's nighttime. So, you know, the lights are all on in the kitchen. You're engrossed in what you're doing, and somebody walks by and they're like, she's creating a masterpiece in there. Oh, it smells delicious. Oh, look, she's making that wonderful meal. It's that kind of scenario energetically that is a part of how your 2 line works. The 5 line is different and more protected because it's the upstairs windows, right? But it's still windows. But that 2 line is that gift of when you're not paying attention, people seeing into the heart and the beauty of what you're doing, people seeing its greatness, even when you aren't aware because you're so engrossed in your process of doing it. I think I like that the houses came together.
Yeah, no, it's such a common analogy because in social work, we use like the house of the oppressor as an analogy. So some people are kept in the basement, right? Some people are like have more access to the rest of the house or like are in the penthouse suite of the house or things like that. The house was built, and that's the key thing in social work. And in the class I took was that the house was built. House can be dismantled. You can go build another house, you know, like right. All of those things. So it's not like a permanent structure, but we can see like the stratification by using the house as an analogy. And we also get the houses can be changed, houses can be burnt down, houses can be rebuilt, that sort of thing.
Nope, I love it. I think it just was, it's such a natural way to have such a good conversation. So is there anything else that you want to share?
I don't think so. I think, although while we're talking about houses, that leads really nicely into some of the other questions, like your fun questions.
Yes, we're getting to the fun questions. I was making sure we covered everything that we've talked about. I mean, because this is like, people are going to get to know you from this. People who may be interested in finding out what your work can do for them might want to join the group, right? They might want to come into that container and say, okay, how does this work for me? How can I step into this energy work and help shift and change my life? Or, you know, you're someone like me who's like, I don't know how anybody can do business without a business energy person. Please don't ask me how you can do this because I don't know. I can't imagine not having this relationship with you in some form or fashion that really helps me stay attuned and aligned to all of that energy flow being correct for me. So that's just, I mean, it's just how I feel.
Say how you feel.
That's right. So we're closing out with our two questions that I love. And so question one, what is your non-negotiable daily practice or self-care routine that keeps your engine full? We cannot pour from an empty cup. Mm-hmm. You're keeping yours filled by?
Long time. Okay. So I don't have like a daily thing that looks the same every day. I have like a rotation pretty much. This is how like I do anything. I don't ever eat like the exact same thing every day, but I have a rotation of things that I like. So I have a rotation of things, but it really comes down to that alone time, because that can be a nap, that can be video games, that can be reading, that can be whatever, but that alone time is really key. As much as I love being around other people and like coasting off their energy and like filling all those other lines and spaces inside my human design, that alone time is really where I recharge and refill. And so what that looks like changes from day to day: naps, journaling, reading, video games, eating by myself, whatever it is, right? Like it changes. And where we're staying right now, we have access to a sauna. So like sometimes it's a sauna, but it's definitely that alone time away from other people, away from their energy and them doing things and whatever they're up to. That's really what refills me.
I would like to point out that you are eating according to your human design profile. And I don't know if you knew that, right? That sort of it's a cycle, but it's basically kind of the same things and you mix them up is very much a part of, you are alternating, you're a two, but you're left. And so I'm a two when I'm right. But it's really, you don't have a huge, it's consistently the same, you know, let's say 10 or 12 things that you mix up all of the time, and that's what you, yeah, that's actually how it works for you. And other people are like, ooh, try this, ooh, try that. And you might maybe try something, but that doesn't mean you're going to necessarily like, okay, I tried it. That's great. I tried it. I'm not changing what my staple routine of eating is. So it's very frequent that especially people who have done a lot of deconstructive work, a lot of energy work, a lot of alignment work, whether they know their design or not, they're already in resonance with a big piece of that. And so you are feeding your body in the way that is most natural and most desired for your optimum, you know, brain function, body function, all of that fun stuff. And I think that's just amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
So now we're going to move on to question two.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one.
If you had $1 million that was available to you to give to a cause, what would you give to and why?
I would give to Housing First. This is a model or a approach to homelessness and a lot of other things because of the way it is, and we'll get into that. But Housing First. So I believe that safe housing is a basic need and that we should all have access to it. And we know from studies and experience that we cannot address things like mental health, physical health, employment, et cetera, in a sustainable way until people are housed. And so the house comes first, and that's the Housing First. And this comes from my social work days, but okay, so you want to get employment, but you have to have an address for them to like put you down as, right? To write on your resume, all of these things, right? You need, you're recovering from addiction. Well, if you don't have a safe space away from your current triggers, you're gonna relapse. And relapse is part of the process anyway, but it makes it that much more difficult to stay, like to be sober and stay sober. And then if you have medications and things like that, you need a safe place to store them. So like Housing First to me is just like really important before we can really address any of the other things. And so that's where I would. It's additionally less costly than our current system of doing things. So they've run analyses and it's like less costly because people are less likely to use emergency services, go to jail or prison, have compounding physical health things to address, compounding mental health things to address. So that's what I would donate to. And if people want to learn more, they can check out endhomelessness.org. They had some really good resources. They talk about what Housing First is, and then they have some of the stats, but you can also click to get more of the stats so you can understand like why this is actually more cost effective, but also like why this is more helpful in terms of getting people the assistance that they need and for them to like have self-actualizing, fulfilling lives. So
thank you for sharing this. What my goal is in us sharing these things is to raise awareness, certainly, but to help people see into the heart of the women I'm bringing in for them to get to know. And I think this is really an integral piece of understanding the heart of a person when they talk about what they would do in this kind of situation. Here's just a little thing for me to reflect back in this. I am doing some pivoting myself because of, you know, just some things that are landing for me. And one of the things that I'm really questioning is why we, humans, society, Americans, however you'd like to define the we, are allowing ourselves to live in a system that doesn't give people the basic things they need for survival, right? And so I had this, I don't know, it may sound like a strange thought, but as you're talking about this, the thing that came to mind was, I bet there weren't any homeless Indigenous Americans. Like, it, they had a different focus and concept for what was important for the community. And when we begin to, like, the work that you're bringing into focus, the things that are coming into focus for me, when we can begin to be focused on the survival, the thriving, and the flourishing of our communities, and less on the survival, thriving, and flourishing of our stockholders, the world is going to be so much better, right? There's a place where we have to begin to come to the realization that we're all in this together and we're all connected. And so what is happening to those who have the least is happening to all of us. And so that's just, it's a thing that's in my awareness. It's just really landing for me and becoming clear. And it's, you know, it's part of the work I'm going to do going forward. So thank you for sharing this. I've pulled it up over here. Lots, fantastic website.
I know.
Lots of really good information, right? Mm-hmm. About what's going on, why it's going on, what it means, and effective ways of approaching it. But I think the first place we need to approach it, for anyone who's listening to this and has gotten this far, is in ourselves. And asking ourselves, if we're all connected, what's the right thing? So thank you very much for sharing this. This is fantastic. So I would like to thank you for being here. I sincerely appreciate your time and you joining me. And I look forward to working with you in the future, as I already have been. And I hope that everyone who's gotten to know you today and has gotten some value seeks you out. All the details are going to be posted in the podcast description. And that's it. Thanks for now.
Yeah, no, thank you. This is a lot of fun. I love getting to talk to you and having conversations. I feel like that's where a lot of amazing things happen, because we don't do things alone, we do things together. So thank you for this time and for asking me to be here.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Please stop back and listen in as I have more conversations with more phenomenal women. Links to everything are in the podcast description, and I look forward to connecting with you.